Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for November 24th, 2020. I understand that we have a quorum. Mr. Secretary, will you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams, Teresa J. Allen.
Allen is present.
Nick Arena.
Here.
Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Oh.
Dwayne Lark.
Present.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Polina Vasiliev.
Present.
Okay, that's nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay. Now we're going to go to the agenda. And I shall read the agenda, I guess. Began with convening the meeting, the roll call, adopting the agenda. Number four is chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five is the ICFO report, Anita Sims. Since we don't have the October financials yet, Anita will discuss cash flow at the station and national office levels, the issues meeting payroll, the lack of central service payments to the national office, and outstanding payables from the national office. This is 45 minutes for the report and the Q&A. Then number six is the central services formula, 30 minutes. Number seven is deposit transparency. NETA requests that all deposits be scanned to them. This is critical at a time of cash flow shortages or rapid response and has the long-term benefit of reducing misallocation of donations. Number eight is reports from stations on budget timeline progress, KPFT and KPFK, 3 minutes. Number nine, old business. This is a motion from Director Lark regarding a moratorium of central service payments from KPFT, which was submitted some time ago and referred to this committee. Number 10 is new business, another motion that was referred to this committee from the PNB regarding the accounting and credit for central services payments. Number 11, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, are there any adjustments or amendments? Well, let's pass the agenda, then we'll see if there are any amendments.
No, Mr. Chair.
No, hold on. R. Paul?
First of all, who's making the motion to adopt the agenda?
Okay, Polina. I'll make that motion.
Okay, and second of all, now that it's on the floor, now we make the amendments. We don't pass
Thank
it
you.
And amend it. All
okay.
right, and I have good. An amendment.
Very good. Go ahead.
Where is it? Okay. Old business is actually unfinished business.
Uh-huh.
Not called old business in real life. So I move to make old business unfinished business.
No objection.
Yes. So is there any objection or any discussion? Hearing none. That's adopted.
Also, I have a... since we have, for instance, number five, why do we have, coming attractions in the agenda? It's what's wrong with just ICFO report, Anita Sims, or just
ICFO report? Yeah, I agree. I was thinking that as I was reading it, I was editorializing in one of the other items as well. So yes, let's do that.
So we could strike out everything after Sims in that item?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
right, so I'll make that. Let's see, there's that, and there's another thing in here. Oh, and deposit transparency. Why don't we just leave it as deposit transparency, and we'll figure it out later on, okay?
Agreed. That was the other one.
Okay. Those are amendments.
Very good. Do we have to ask, is there any objection to those amendments? Hearing none.
What are we going to do?
They're adopted.
I'm not saying anybody has proposed any of them.
I'm hearing a voice in the background. Is someone trying to speak?
No, this is Lydia. Just that I'm on the call.
Oh, hi, Lydia. Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry for being late.
No problem. Glad to have you. Okay. Now, are there any other amendments, additions, alterations to the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. And now we'll go to chair's announcements. And I should actually skip a couple of them because people are here who I thought might not be.
What? Mr.
Go ahead, Art Paul. Go ahead.
No, there are no... Okay. I didn't read this enough, I guess. All right. Are we going to... I guess we'll throw in the minutes in new business. But I would ask that we do this, that we, you know, do it the different way.
Oh, the minutes. Well,
you know,
why don't
you know.
What would you prefer?
I'll throw it in during new business. You know, we should just get going.
Okay, I hope we get to it. If not, next time. All right, so... For the announcements, I say we have received draft budgets from three stations so far. If there is no objection, we should plan to begin reviewing them at our next meeting. The ICFO says that ideally the general managers should present their budgets. We could take them in the order they were submitted or at the convenience of the presenters. And I'll take volunteers offline, or, you know, after the meeting. To see who wants to go first. NEDA has not yet received all the necessary information from the stations to run the consolidated financials to prepare all the P&Ls, so we will not be reviewing them tonight. At our last meeting, we discussed an idea suggested by Affiliate Director Robin Collier that the monthly financials that are now simultaneously copied to the NFC, the IED, the PNB officers, and the GMs should also be copied to the, at the same time to Ursula, of the affiliates program, affiliates unit. I asked around, and I was told that this used to be Pacifica's practice. The GMs were also sent the P&Ls for all the units, not just their own. If there is no objection, we will resume our former practice, including copying the PRA unit. This transparency is especially important in this time of financial duress, which has led to cash flow and payroll problems and inter-unit borrowing. As we have discussed, non-proprietary financial documents are not secret, and the common practice is total transparency. IED, oh, okay, we're going to skip that one. Let's just, can we remove that one from the minutes, Art Paul?
Okay, now which?
This is Lydia Brazan. I was saying she may be unable to join us tonight and that she was working on other matters.
Okay, I'll make a note of that.
I appreciate that, and I apologize, Chris. I thought you sent me an email saying you weren't going to be able to join us tonight, but Chris is here, so we could remove that as well, please.
Yeah, that's correct. There has been a change due to the coronavirus stay-at-home order.
I see. Okay. Thanks for being here. And that's the end of the new announcements. Okay.
Oh, hi, James. This is Sharon. I'm here now.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for joining.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we will now go to the ICFO report from Anita Sims. Are you ready, Anita?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Chair. First of all, we do have the October financials, but you know, they were late, obviously. We had one station that was not able to close until yesterday, so it didn't give us enough time for review and also to update the cash flow. So I don't have either one of those reports. Those will follow as soon as the holiday is over, because we actually, our organization starts closing tomorrow. But I do have, and I did send to all of to the committee, the budget for the national office. If you'd like to kind of look through that, I'll briefly talk about it. And again, this is just a draft. We don't have, obviously, have not done this before, so we want to kind of show it to you, and I'm assuming that you have it in front of you. We took out the SRA rent income, as noted in the minutes and what have you. Again, and the way that we understand it, donations, that's just something, if you look at the revenue area, just a number that we pull from the actual or from the annual of 2020. Again, very little income because we really don't have anything to gauge it on. We don't know of any major donors, as you've seen some in the past, but be happy to get any feedback from the committee and obviously add it in. On the a little bit further down on the expenses, personnel costs, we actually did have an estimated number there for the future hire of the ED. We also have the cost of administration expenses. But if you look further down, you can see where those numbers are feeding back up to. In other words, if you want to know what is expenses for admin, if you go down to line 58, you'll see.
Mr. Chair, excuse me, Anita. Mr. Chair, point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
As I've stated over and over and over, I am not on the group email, and I would like to see what is being discussed. So either you or Anita, or if someone would be so kind to send it to my published email address.
Is there anyone who can do that?
Fred will.
This is Felina. I'm trying to do that. Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Fred. Yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
Trying to do
thank
that.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Anita.
Okay. Well, I wonder if maybe we should wait a moment just for him to get it.
Okay. That's considerate.
If that's all right.
Dwayne, would you like us to wait?
Yes, of course. I think I can't keep up with the line she's going through. But if someone has emailed it, if they could say so, I'm refreshing every 5 seconds, but I haven't seen it.
I just sent it.
Yeah, I think
I just sent Anita's documents from today.
I have it. Thanks, I have it.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, Dwayne.
Mr. Chair, this is Polina with a question.
Yes, Polina. Go ahead.
Anita, are we looking at the document titled National Office Central Service? Oh, sorry, that's the Central Service. I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, P&O preliminary budget. Got it, found it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I was starting to talk about line 58.
Okay, finding it now.
And it's the proposed 21 budget for the national office.
Got it.
Okay. Again, I think it was Sharon that sent me an email about what the detail was. I just wanted to kind of address some of your questions, Sharon, if that's all right with the group.
I don't think they were my questions.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Were
those Nancy Sorden's questions? Anita?
looking.
That was the Nancy source.
Yeah, I think it was Nancy. Correct. Sorry. I don't know your voice, but sorry.
No worries. I just wasn't sure what you were. That's okay.
Things I wanted to point out, and again, we're just taking that out and really more as an average. Professional fees, we did not. That's probably been a very noteworthy item to discuss. Prior year, it had $362,000 expense there, but we essentially just took what we knew and added $100,000 to it, quite frankly. Again, if anyone has any more information or better information, please let me know by email, and we can increase that. The accounting contract, that is NETA, remains the same dollar amount there. The audit fees are, quite frankly, from Rogers, so that is essentially consistent. I think the reason that 2020 does not look right is because it was really all together in the 122. But that $70,000 is the dollar amount that we understand is the cost of the audit. Any questions so far?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Teresa. When you were talking a little earlier, you were talking about donations, and you said something like, we don't have large donors anymore. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, no, I didn't say large donors. All I said is we really don't have any basis to show that dollar amount, if you will, in line item, or for it's just a guess. That's why it's $160,000.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Unfortunately.
If only we could get a whole bunch of people to be large donor sustainers.
Exactly.
In 10 years, for life.
Right. One of the things that the National Office pays for the station is the insurance expense. We do know that there's an increase in premium, so that is the reasoning or the rationale for the increase from prior year, and that is line 68.
This is Paulina.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Okay, thank you. Anita, I am looking at line 11 donations, right? And I don't see any line, specific line for website income. And I remember that this has been an item of heated conversation during our local station, local finance committee meetings, where we're trying to understand what kind of budgets are being proposed to us by the GM and the business manager, where there are two different line items. One is for donations and one is for website income. And I see that you don't have that kind of a line item. Can you comment on that, on how you're handling that, why you are not making that into a separate line item, and whether that should be standardized across the network?
I really don't know why we're not tracking it. There is some website income coming in to the national office. It's really the one that our ICEO has started. I don't even remember the name of it, but it's where contributions come in through an app, if you will. I will look it up as I'm talking.
Yeah, this is Lydia.
Before you go, Lydia, I just want to ask Sharon if she was done before.
Well, Paulina was just asking questions, but I did have questions.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I interrupted you. So where are we?
Well, I think I'm just next on stack if Paulina is finished.
Okay,
I apologize.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sharon. I'm actually done, so sorry.
Thank you, Anita, for doing this. And I just wanted to, I'm looking at line 24, which is total operating expenses. And I understand this is an estimate, so estimated at $1.4 million is the total operating expenses for the national office, if I understand this correctly.
Correct. It's just for the national office. And then the details of the expenses is further down in this document.
Okay. So, and then central services, it shows central services at from stations at, you know, approximately $1.2 million. So, so if I'm reading this correctly, that would be the current central services payment if all the stations were making their central services payments to the national office at the current formula. Is that right, what line 27 is?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and this is just for my own clarity here, obviously. So the operating expenses are more than what is received from the central services, even if they were all being paid, which they're not, we know. But my question is actually about line 30, which is total net expenses, and that's where I see the 160,487, which is the same as line 16. So I'm just wondering, is that kind of how you sort of came to that number, like to sort of bring the budget into balance? Is that how that happened?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And again, since we don't have the historical background, we do have another document, one of the others that I had sent out that Tamara and I worked on, and essentially we were going by, that's really where we found the historical tracking of how the computation was done back in 2014 until current. Of the 15%. So we actually did take a reduction, and you'll see it in the next document. But yes, everything that you are assuming is correct.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay, Lydia?
Yes, I just wanted to ask which line was the projected income for the, salary for the, a possible ED hire?
I believe it's all in a total based on prior years for the last CEO. So
no, but what line is it reflected in? That's one question.
It's line 19, Lydia.
Oh, okay.
Line 19.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. So regarding what Paulina said, for example, and I think what you're thinking of is Act Blue. Is that what you were thinking of that I added to the website that we've taken in about over 30,000 so far?
Yeah.
You get those notices. Okay.
Correct.
And then, right. And then we also have PayPal, so that doesn't include the PayPal. And I think that it would be important to start itemizing that, to have that as a separate line. And I say that because I had just announced to the GMs and everyone because of issues that came up with the national fund drive that we had, meaning we had no access to a phone room, and so therefore who knows. The phone kept ringing, but we were unable to answer it. But anyway, that's a different story. But it prompted me to then decide to take this online at pacifica.org, so that we will be posting the shows that we developed, which were unique. The interview with John Densmore, formerly of The Doors, and director Greg Nava and Juan Gonzalez and so forth. And post those on the website and continue with the premiums that were, as a result, our hottest premium was the Densmore book, but nevertheless, and continue that. So I think that that's going to be an ongoing thing rather than interrupting the programming, not to say that we won't have one in the future. I've also asked all of the GMs to provide an actual schedule of the fund drives, which they were unable to do this last year. So I was unable to schedule that national fund drive that had been pending for a year. But nevertheless, so rather than have a makeup one, given everything that we encountered last week, that I decided to just take it all online, because what we raised was almost comparable to what the one email of Lou Hill's son brought in. So certainly our online presence is an important one. So ongoing, I think it's going to be important to have that separate online donation line.
I noted. We will definitely track it that way.
And you get notified directly, so that's a
yes.
Good news.
Yes, I was very happy to see some of that money come through.
Well, there'll be more as soon as we find out. I have a whole stack of things that still have to be entered that we did get while the short time the phones were working on one phone. and whatever went into PRA's voicemail, which I'm waiting to see on that. So there you go.
Wonderful.
Okay. Did you want to respond, Anita?
Yes, I did. We will definitely track it, sir.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Were you done now, Lydia? Paulina?
Yes,
ahead,
I am.
Paulina. Yes, go ahead, Paulina.
May I? Okay.
Yes, go ahead, Paulina.
So my doubt is the following. We seem to be having trouble understanding at the local finance committee level, at least, how the this should be itemized. Because, for instance, let's imagine we have donations, right? That's a line item. And then you have website income. Well, those are donations as well. And should we be labeling those donations that are done online as website income and those donations that are done by phone as donations, right? Listener support. I think that's the line item that we have in our local budget. And that we've been just struggling to get an understanding of how that's being done, because we have a feeling, I hope I'm speaking correctly for the local finance committee, to say that we feel that sometimes it feels like it's overlapped in the projections, like these are all projections, as you correctly stated, Anita. They're based on whatever, right? on hopefuls, right? So just to make sure that we're not overstating our projections, and not categorizing the same amount in more than one category, right? Which would overstate our projected revenue. Thank you.
That's a very good point. If I make comment, Mr. Chair. Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, I hold to 1 second. Did I hear Fred?
Yeah, I want to be on the stack.
Oh, I see. Okay, I thought there might be something wrong with the stream. Go ahead, Anita.
I was just going to say that really that speaks to one of the comments that you made earlier, James, is one of the reasons for us to see the deposit, because we're assuming as funds are received on the website that the majority of those, if not all, are coming in from credit card. And that is one way that we can ensure that is being coded correctly. Because keep in mind, all that is being done at station. But it would certainly be good for us to see if it's a major donor or a major gift or what have you, that it's not just in listener support, if you will. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else?
Fred.
Yes, go ahead, Fred. I'm sorry, I forgot.
I have a couple of questions for Anita. Just following on what Paulina was asking, the local finance committee at KPFK is interested that not only that there's no duplication of the website income and the user support income, but also that the website income is correct. We'd like to know if it's growing these days during the COVID lockdown. That's always useful information. But my main question to Anita is, yes, you moved the subcarrier income from the national office to the stations. My understanding was that the subcarrier income, which has been for years been on the, at the $250,000 a year range, basically dropped to zero. And now I thought I heard from Lydia at one of the P&B meetings that we've actually gotten some of the subcarrier income back. Could somebody answer to me what the status of the subcarrier income is at this point in time?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so we get 8,000 a month just from the two Radio Marias. Wait, let me see. Am I computing right? Wait, 35? No, less. Try 7. and we lost Radio Korea, but then there are two more sidebands that I didn't know we had. I'm in the process of contacting them. Some of the income has been, I don't know where it went. And some of it got to the national office as forwarded directly from KPFA. So I'm still trying to track all of that forwarding stuff done, and that's by those other sidebands. And so there you are. So we are still continuing with them. As you know, that during COVID, or at least these last couple of months in COVID, when I took the issue to the national board because Radio Maria asked for a discount, they approved up to $500. So I did give them that, and I said I would reevaluate if they could bring their account up to date, which I think one more check and they'll be one or two, they'll be up to date, that we would consider extending for a couple of months. So, but it was worth it to keep them, and immediately the first thing I did was get a $10,000 check and so on and so forth. I just deposited another one yesterday. And so, yes, we are getting some income, and they seem that they will want to continue with those. But I can expand on that when I have person-to-person contact with the other sidebands.
Well, that
and I'm depositing them to the operating account, just so everyone knows, so the Pacifica operating account.
I'll go back and look for the...
Go ahead, Anita. I'll get to you, Fred, in a moment.
I was just going to say that, I'll talk with Tamara to see. I don't think we have it in the income at all, but I do remember that Maria income. So I will go back and check and get back to all of you.
Yeah, for this current year, Radio Korea paid consistently. So
okay,
they're 10,000. So we should have income in there for this
Thank
year.
You.
I was going to say that's good news that we're getting some money, because the subcarrier was $20,000 a month in previous years, and we've had so much bad news this year. It's some good news is appreciated.
Yeah.
This is the chair. I have a question for Anita and perhaps also Lydia. Where is the appropriate place for that income to be? Where should that be recorded? In the national office or at the stations?
Well, of course, that's a debate. If is how to fetter that out, of course. If it is credited in any part to the station, we would simply raise the central services to meet that. So I don't know what it accomplishes, but if it does at least clarify for the stations that they are providing this service to the national office, but I deposit all the checks to the national office until someone tells me otherwise.
So it should be properly credited to the national office at this time.
But I think the issue is that the stations at least want some kind of recognition of that, whether it's an in and out type of thing or whatever it was. I never fully understood that motion. I think where I left off was that there needs to be a simpler formula for that, recognizing that the income to the national office can't be depleted anymore than it is for issues like the insurance premium, for example, et cetera, you know, all the other things that we pick up.
Yeah, just a moment, Chris. I do understand that. I just wanted to be clear on the question of where it should be going now, and I think you've made it clear. And so is that, do you understand that as correct, Anita?
I do understand what she's saying, yes.
Wonderful, thank you.
And it could be as a credit on the unpaid central services also.
Right, that's a debate we're having, and that brings up some other questions, and we'll get to that. Who was that I heard, Fred?
No.
I'm sorry, I thought I heard somebody.
That was Chris, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be highly appropriate to credit it to central services. The point I was going to bring up is, and I'm sure Anita would be happy to confirm this, that historically about a third of the revenue that the national office gets is through a combination of donations, income from affiliates, and sideband frequency income. With all those factors going away, it leaves very little extra income for the national office. Now, for everyone listening and for the individual stations, you might say, well, that's a good thing because there's no reason for the national office to be running at a profit when the stations are running at losses. That does make sense. However, I want to precaution everybody listening as well that it creates a much thinner margin of error for the national office. As Sharon alluded to earlier, if there are shortfalls now, the national office is going to pay the burden of them very heavily, and their ability to act on behalf of the individual stations, particularly in urgent and exigent situations such as we've had at KPFK this year, is going to be nil. Right now, the budget that is proposed is that less than 12% of the revenue will come not from central services. In other words, 88% of the revenue has to come through central services. So if only half the central services are going to be paid, which is, I think, a fairly grim possibility, but certainly within the realm of possibility, then that would leave the national office with a 38% shortfall, which, needless to say, would put it into a situation of complete chaos in short order. So I think that if we don't allocate those resources that they were previously getting to central services, in other words, if we send them directly to the stations rather than to the national office, the national office is going to be in a very, very dismal position in pretty short order. So I just want Anita, if there's anything that anybody didn't understand there, I'd be happy to try and explain it better, but hopefully everybody understood it. Thank you.
Chris, this is the chair. I'll get you in a moment, Dwayne. I heard you, Dwayne, and I'll come to you in a moment. I just want to ask Chris a question about what he just said. And I thought I understood you to say that it would be okay to credit that income to the station's central services, which would be nice for WBAI, despite the fact that we don't always pay our central services anyway. It would be nice to get that credit, but then that credit would also have to be given to the other stations that do pay their central services, and that would decrease the amount that they would have to pay, therefore resulting in less income to the national office and everybody's central services having to be raised, making the benefit to the individual stations less. It's going to be only an incremental benefit. Is that not right?
I think that's possibly true, yes, James. But keep in mind that since all stations are running in arrears at this point, and I think less than half the stations are paying their central services right now, that any source of income from the individual stations would be a benefit to the national office. Now, in a better year, that would be the opposite would be the case. It would generate less revenue in that situation.
Right.
So
I
think the trade-off would be positive for now and possibly negative for later.
Yeah, and I think so. Maybe we could make that an adjustable item. I apologize. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, we have obviously a different philosophy and a different approach to what should be and what shouldn't be with respect to central services, accounting, and credit. Now, I said this before, and I hope it doesn't go on deaf ears. Chris, I mean no disrespect, but I know that you are in the commercial business, for-profit business, as I am. But we're serving a non-profit organization. So when we continue, and many, not just you, but when we continue to say profitable, when we continue to use and make the analogy that some of our stations and our units are not profitable, it's anathema to being a non-profit organization. So that's why you call it a non-profit organization. Now, if you use revenue-neutral terms, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which most nonprofits don't try to carry $100, $200, $300, $1 million, $3 million over and over, because what that would mean to their donor is that they don't need their money. But that doesn't mean you go out and rush and spend money unnecessarily. What it means, generally speaking, when we have the structure that we have, for instance, assets are owned by the foundation. And I think that it takes some of that, particularly on when we have national level discussions. The sideband is an asset, not of a station, because the station is not even an asset of the station. It is an asset of the foundation. So I think we need to start thinking in different terms and approach these accounting principles and practices with a different attitude. For instance, I don't think I'm going out on a limb to say that when sideband contracts are issued, it's not created by the station. The station signal is controlled and owned by the foundation. So the foundation should receive those funds. And whether they get credit for it, I think that is almost like a negative interest when you say, okay, well, KPFT is going to get credit for this sideband contract amount, and therefore we can reduce the amount that we're going to pay for central services. That's not positive accounting. That's not sustaining the national office. That's just taking one side of the ledger to the other. So I think we ought to be very careful in this terminology of profit and not profit, because we are non-profit. We ought to be careful about who owns the asset, who deserves to control the asset, who deserves to get the benefit of sideband assets as well. I'm finished.
Mr. Chairman,
anyone else? Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So, Dwayne, I've heard you say this sort of thing before, and I generally agree, but I do think that it has one disadvantage, and that's that it tends to trivialize the functioning of the individual station and also makes it kind of difficult for individual stations to account for their own, for lack of a better way of putting it, revenue flow and expense. So it is true that every single dollar, not just sideband frequency, but every penny of revenue that comes into the organization belongs to the organization. But if we don't account for it at each individual station, we won't know where our weaknesses are in the organization and where our strengths are. And I, I'm not disparaging any station in saying that. We have stronger stations and weaker stations. That is a fact. It's not a disparagement. And the weaker stations need more support than the strong stations. I mean, that's just obvious. In an organization, we need to take care of the weaker elements in the organization to prop them up and make them function better so that they become strong elements. And that is, you know, it's no more a disparagement than saying that you have a sick child that needs care. That isn't an offense to the child. It's a fact. So I appreciate what you're saying, but I think that it takes away from the individual needs and abilities, to use communist terms, of the parts of the organization. So I think it's important for us to be able to analyze what's going on in each individual unit. And in order to do that, we have to keep a certain amount of separation between what's going on in that station and the AM Pacifica as a whole, just for clarity.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia. I hear you, Dwayne.
So, just to be clear, it is John L. Mello, who is the national staff, who facilitates and takes care of everything having to do with the sidebands. It is not an in-house station operation, so that's one. And number two, speaking to Dwayne's point, we can keep, you know, we can do these paper maneuvers to make the station feel better. It doesn't help us, in my opinion. But again, I'm not tied to it because I know that at the end it's going to be what we can pay for and what we can't at each station and at National. And National, any of the units picking up the slack, any of the units meaning either PRA or affiliates or the national office picking up the shortfalls, right? But nevertheless, so I'm not tied to that, but at the end it gives us a false image of what we are doing at each station. One of the key things, once we finish the next audit, and there's this hope we can get back into the good graces of CPB, which, by the way, we can do very soon. They have so many types of grants, but we will not be qualifying for the big ones at least two of our stations, KPFK and KPFT, because of lower listenership and our donors, individual donors and stuff. So all of that criteria gets skewed if we start crediting, you know, the sidebands into it and mixing everything up. We need to have an accurate picture of the health of each station, but also strengthen National enough to pick up the shortfalls. For example, I was hoping that we would raise enough money during this National Fund Drive to pick up the payroll shortfall at KPFK and WBAI, both of which we're facing in the next 2 days, and we'll be able to cover it again from other units, right? And but that's the role that the national office pays, including all of our liability insurance, you know, a long list that we've all covered. But we want to get an accurate picture, and I think this obscures it, but I understand the emotional attachment to it and the feeling, so I don't object to whatever gets passed. However, I do think that the accurate picture is the one that Dwayne portrayed. And accurately. Thank you. In terms of the reality, it depends if we want to go with reality or not.
Thank you, Lydia. Dwayne, before you go ahead, I want to just remind the group that we're about 4 minutes from time on this item. We haven't discussed the cash flow situation. We haven't discussed the payroll issues. And thinking maybe we can come back to this issue again in the future. I'd like to suggest that we either extend time or that we wrap it up on this issue and go on to some of these other issues, especially about the payroll, meeting payroll. So go ahead, Dwayne. But unless anybody, would anybody like to extend?
I'd like to extend for 5 minutes at least to have Dwayne speak to the issue, and if we have a little remaining time, whatever else we can get to.
Okay, I'm going to suggest we extend for 10 minutes. I'm going to ask to amend that to 10.
I'll accept that. Because
we do have a cash flow situation. Is there any objection to extending for 10? Hearing none, that's done. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, well, let me preface my comments by saying I seek to always find some agreement with Chris. I think his acumen with respect to accounting and budget and accounting is good and accurate, and most of his analysis has been very fruitful and helpful. So I don't seek to create a disagreement. I think sometimes in this case we may have a different methodology in what we want to employ. But what I was saying clearly was that these assets are owned by the foundation. So it's nothing that could have a bad reflection on a unit with respect to any funds that are coming from side banks, because it's not the unit's asset in the first place. And in my opinion, the unit shouldn't even flow through the unit, because it's just like the HD1, HD2, HD3, and even HD4 and 5 for some other stations. That money should not be reflected at the station level. That money should be basically utilized at the national level, so that we will have independence and the national office would not be so dependent on the assessments that are made to stations, when in fact I see a diminishing of return with respect to national assessments. We've been struggling with national assessments for a number of years now, and I project that is not going to change, because we're going to have continue to have decreasing budgets. We're going to continue to have decreasing listenership. We're going to continue to have decrease as a result of that decreased listenership, because of the fragmentation of radio and the fragmentation of entertainment and the fragmentation of information gathering and receiving. All of those things work against us. So I want to be very clear about what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are many ways in which a unit and its efficacy and its management and its effectiveness in terms of cash in, cash out usage, I think there are many ways we can reflect upon that and we can make those determinations. But certainly sideband is the issue here. And I believe sideband is a property of the National Foundation, and it should be direct asset and revenue generated for the purpose of running the national office. And I don't believe it in any way could reflect negatively or positively on the operation of an individual unit. I want to be very clear about that.
Okay. Chris, I'm tempted to offer you an opportunity to go back, but if you would be willing to forego, perhaps we could go back to Anita, which, after all, this is her time we're using. I'm sure she doesn't mind.
I'd like 30 seconds, I guess.
Go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay, I guess once again, you know, all revenue is belongs to the foundation. So it's an arbitrary decision as to whether individual station revenue should even be considered. I think I see your point, Dwayne. I really do, and that's why it was placed there historically. Although the motion is in direct conflict with this, the motion that was passed by the PMB, I believe, is in direct conflict with what you suggested. So we would have to reverse that. I think maybe the thing that bothers me the most about moving it out of the national office is that national office has very little steady income. It has a lot of fluctuating income, and it would be nice for the national office to have something more steady. There's nothing different about the national office from any individual station, though, because it's just an arbitrary allocation. You could just as easily say all central services should go to KPFT. it would be ridiculous to do that. We both agree that that would be the case. But it is an arbitrary decision that could be made by the PNB, for example, or by the ICFO or by the ED. It wouldn't be very reflective of what's happening in the individual stations, which I think should be our primary goal in this particular body. So thanks. I think we've said enough on this. We should probably just move on. But it's an interesting discussion.
Thank you, Chris. I'd like to go back to Anita now and ask her to proceed in her report with whatever she thinks is the highest priority, but in hope that she will discuss the cash flow situation and the payroll shortfalls.
Okay, well, yes, I will talk about that item. Again, on the proposed budget, what I'd like to do is go back and look into some of these things that we have been discussing and send another draft. Again, this was a draft to really get us started of what the central services might look like. I do urge you to look further down in that same document, line 101, where we listed the fees again, a little bit less than prior year. But I agree with Chris. There really is not much room to maneuver to undertake anything if, in fact, the national office needs to support one of the stations as an emergency cash or what have you. But, again, we did spend some time with the formula and, again, with this information. And I appreciate any input on it moving forward, but we will have a second draft of it. The other thing that I think is urgent before I get off, and really Lydia did address it, we do have two stations that have cash, a shortfall, if you will, to meet the payroll. It is KPFK and WBAI. About, I think combined is about $38,000. So I think what we were going to do is probably talk with Lydia tomorrow to see if we could borrow from Peter to pay Paul, so to speak, to ensure that we meet the payroll. I think it has to be funded by tomorrow.
Yes, I think I resolved that with the units today.
Yes.
And for Anita, this is James. Is your figure of $38,000, is that reflecting the deposit that Berthold made today of $12,000 for the payroll?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And so what is you mentioned that WBAI's, initially you had said it was $17,000, which would have left $5,000, but now I think that number is a little higher. So what is WBAI's current deficit?
Oh, well, shortfall
in that
is $10,000.
Yes,
$165,000.
And so the other $28,000 is KPFK's shortfall?
Correct.
Thank you.
Keep in mind how we come up. Obviously, we have your payroll, so we know the cost of that. And we go online to check the balance. And, of course, the balance at the time was not enough to cover the total payroll for KPFK.
Yes. And just for everybody's information, I understand Berthold will be making another deposit tomorrow. He thought it only needed to be $5,000. I'll, of course, make sure he's up to date on that. And Lydia, did you want to say something?
Yes, there are a couple of grants coming to both of those stations. So, and they are imminent. There's a $20,000 one coming to KPFK. Sorry, KPFT gets a sale of a house. But that we haven't sold yet. Let me be clear. But I will. Maybe I'll sneak that in as well. It turns out there are no. Our lawyers tell us there are no encumbrances having to do with the house that was bequested to KPFT. So as soon as we can, we are going to list it. The market, the housing market in Houston is very hot. So. Cautiously optimistic, but we haven't seen it yet. So there you go. And then, and so 20,000 at KPFK, WBAI has two, one for 200,000 and one that, I just have to correct the name they have on the bequest, and sign it and send it in for another five. And, so that will help relieve a little bit, and hopefully the end of year giving will help a little bit. Well, we can't count on that. Right now it's been a consistent. KPFK still owes money it borrowed from the National Affiliates Unit, and so it still has to pay that back from the previous payroll, and so it keeps, you know, getting bigger, those shortfalls, because they keep start accumulating. Now, having said that, you know, we're in the middle of things that I can't discuss on air, having to do with other cuts and our contracts, our union contracts, and so forth. And we have our attorney on the union contracts working diligently to try to trim a bit, and in terms of certain aspects of the contract, both at KPFK and KPFA.